It's a beautiful late summer day. Glad that you're here. Fall officially comes on Tuesday. So we've had some beautiful weather so far. I'm thankful. Remember, our retreat is coming up in November. I want you to be a part of that as we'll get to be out and enjoy the fall weather. It's a family retreat. All of you are invited. We'll have more details on that, but I believe that's the 13th, 14th, and 15th of November. Are my dates right? That weekend. So I want you to be a part of that. Come join. We stay in places where there are running water. There's heat and air and all kind of things. It's nice. No snakes, no bugs. Well, not many, but at least not inside. So come and join us for that, and that will be a great time to be together. We'll have a prayer in just a moment for David Tucker. Many of you know David has really, for the last several years, been struggling with circulation in his legs and had a graft a couple of weeks ago, three or four now, and thought that that was infected and they were going to remove it. And when they got in there Thursday, it had just torn. And he'd had a couple of severe bleeding instances where very, very dangerous. Had to give him quite a few units of blood and some plasma. But we're very optimistic that it was an infection that had caused it to fail and had gone from room to ICU back to a room. And Kathy was going to be with us. And this morning, he started bleeding again. So we just want to be prayerful for them because they have had, just seemed like about every three or four days, they get knocked down. And we celebrated a few months back that David had gone 3 months without surgery. The reason I share that with you can just imagine that every 2 or 3 months having to go back into the hospital for another surgery is just tough. So let's have a special prayer on their behalf this morning. Dear Father, we come to you on this beautiful day, mindful of your greatness. And Father, we're just humbled by your power that you exhibit in our lives and in our world. Father, we pray that we will have a greater faith and a greater trust in you as you bless us and lead us and protect us. Father, we want to pray especially this morning for David Tucker and for Kathy. As we know, they're struggling, and we're just thankful that Thursday's surgery went well, and we just pray that you be with him and continue to bring about healing of his body. Father, be with them spiritually and emotionally as well, as we know that it's just so wearying to constantly have these surgeries and these setbacks. And we just pray your blessing and your healing on them. Father, we know that they're people of faith, and we just pray that you would strengthen their faith as they trust in you. Father, we know that you will make things as they should be, and we trust you, but we just ask your peace and your blessing. Father, we just hold David up to you and ask in a special way that you be mindful of him and that you care for him. Dear Father, it's so wonderful to be able to trust in you and the ups and downs of life, that you care for us, that you protect us and provide for us. Father, we praise you for it, and we ask for a greater faith as we trust you. But again today, Father, we just pray for this family, and that, again, you minister to them, that you care for them. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. We'll talk about salt and light for the next couple of 3 weeks. Because this is a passage that you're familiar with. We sing songs about it. And as these fall mornings come on, there's nothing like a good piece of country ham on a cool morning that's been salted. And that's actually part of what this passage is about. You didn't know that a Jewish rabbi would talk about. He didn't actually talk about salted ham, but it makes application in our environment today. But the difference that salt and light makes, and you and I are a part of that. You and I have been called to be salt and light in the world in which we live. This morning we sang with the young people, and we may do that next week. We won't do it this morning. We sang about this little Christian light of mine. And it's certainly a song based on this passage. We will make the comment that someone is salt of the earth. And it comes from this very same passage. Every now and then we'll say somebody's not worth their salt, but that's a whole other thought. But salt and light, making a difference in the world in which we live. Because Jesus says to those who are going to be people of the kingdom, because remember, as we've talked about, this is the message of the kingdom. Jesus is preaching and teaching that the kingdom is at hand. And this is what the kingdom is about. And this is what people of the kingdom are about. They're about making a difference in the world in which we live. Jesus has not called us to remove ourselves. To remove ourselves so that we don't have an influence. But He's called us to be an influence. In fact, the 16th verse of Matthew 5 says this: "Let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." It is not just about doing good for the sake of good. And it's not just saying this is a standard by which you ought to live and we're going to exemplify that, although that's part of what we have been called to. But we have been called to live in such a way that people will see God through our lives. That God will be glorified through the lives that we live, through the things that we do, the way that we act, the way that we treat each other, and the way that we treat outsiders as well. That people will see our good works and God will receive the glory for it. To really set a basis, a foundation for this passage, I want us to go back to Genesis chapter 1. Because as you know, I love the early part of Genesis, the story of the creation, because I am firmly convinced that if we don't understand the principles of Genesis, it's very difficult for us to understand the rest of the Scripture. Because God tells us about Himself and His power and what our place is in that, that God lays out the order of things and what He desires. And so here's what Genesis 1 says. "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, and let them, and in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground.' So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him, male and female, He created them. God blessed them and said to them, 'Be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground.'" Several principles here, but the first one I want to talk about, and maybe the most important for our study for the next 2 or 3 weeks, is we make a difference in the world. We're a light. We're salt because we are made in the image of God. That's the way God created us. Now, I believe all mankind is created in God's image. But as people of the kingdom, our desire, our goal should be to live life as God has called us to live. To exemplify in our lives what being people of God is about. What being created in the image of God is about. That we have claimed and know that God is our Father, that we are His children, and the way we live reflects that attitude and that confession and that desire. Because God, from the very beginning, created us in His image. And that makes us different than the rest of creation, right? This is really important. Really not part of today's lesson, but it's so important I'm going to hit on it. Because we get very confused as people about this issue. You and I are different than the rest of creation. We are not the highest order in an evolutionary process. We are human beings specifically created in the image of the Almighty God. We are not where we are by accident or by strength or by having a larger cranium. We are where we are in the creation because God specifically put us here. And we have a responsibility that comes with being created in the image of God. Part of that is to rule over and to care for the earth. It's part of our role. We have a responsibility. There is an enjoyment that comes with our position of dominion over the earth, but there is a responsibility that comes with that. And there is a responsibility that arises that we have a responsibility to each other as being created in the image of God, to, as God does, to care for each other, to love each other, to act responsibly, and to be about, as Jesus knew, God's business. So as Jesus calls us to be salt and light in the world, we have to remember that part of that reflection we have is because we're created in the very image of God. And so we should reflect God in our lives. That we're created in the very image of God. And so we should make a difference in the society in which we live. Let's go to the New Testament. Read a passage together. Peter writes this. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted that, the Lord is good. As you come to Him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to Him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priest. I'm going to go back over this. This is where it has application to you and to me. You also, like living stones, each of us is a living stone, are being built together into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. Each of us is a stone that has its place in the building. We're being brought together by God because we are unique and we have a place. We fit together. Offering spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in Him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone, and a stone that causes men to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobeyed the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day He visits." Paul's saying, we weren't a family at one time. We weren't a nation. We weren't a people. That God's kingdom now draws people from all nations, from all places, from all people. But God has brought us together as one, and all of us has a place. I love rock fences. I don't know whether you do or not, but a lot of people do, because I understand you can go to Brentwood and you can sell our old rock fences for a lot of money, but I just really don't want to get rid of mine. But I tell you what I like about rock fences is I look and say, somebody took a lot of time to place every stone where it fits with the other one, because they're not like bricks that are all the same size. Now, you bricks are all the same size and hopefully the same color today if that's what you want them to be. And so a man with talent and skill can put them together pretty easily. He doesn't have to look at one. He just grabs the next one. But those rock fences and rock houses, they have to fit together by what fits, because they're different sizes and shapes. And if it's going to be level and appealing and sturdy, they have to fit together. I really kind of think that's what Peter's saying, that all of us are a stone that have a place in the building. And we're not all the same. We're not bricks. We're stones, different in size and shape, but God puts us together. to make a building that is sturdy. And Jesus is the cornerstone on which we're built. But all of us have our place in the building. All of us have our place as a nation, as a priesthood. And our uniqueness fills the place where it is needed, and God puts us together. So we make a difference in the world. And then he calls us to live in a way, just as Jesus did, so that God is glorified, to put away sinfulness and to become a building, a nation, a people, that by our lives, God is glorified. And that's still true for us today. All of us have our place where we serve. And just a moment, I'm going to announce and have stand those men who have been nominated to serve as deacons of this congregation. Then I'm going to introduce their families as well. So I'll let y'all be prepared for that this morning. But these men have been called to a place of service, have been nominated for a place of service that God may be glorified. Now, what does that mean to the rest of us? It doesn't mean that, well, here are folks who are going to do all the work and I don't have my place. It just means as we go about seeking God's will and God's design, that as these men assume their roles of service, that all of us assist, and it helps us to grow so that we continue to find our places of service. And so all of us actually then grow to serve more, because there's so much opportunity. Because what are we about in our world? Being salt and light. We're about, as a church, making a difference in our community, as a group, and certainly as individuals, that we live in such a way that God will be glorified. And so these men and their families will assume a different role, a growing role, and will just be a part of us as individuals and in a congregation, continuing to grow to be what God would have us to be. So I'm going to introduce those folks, and again, I'll have you stand, and then we'll introduce your families this morning. These are in really no particular order. They're not in alphabetical order. They're just, this is the way they are. The first one is Todd Hickey. Many of you know these folks, and I think there's some sickness in Todd's family and a wedding coming, but his wife is Kim, and they have three children, Tyler, Kayla, and Trey. Thank you, Todd. Ben Bennett and his wife Katie and Hunter and Allie. All right. Nathan Mathis, his wife Andrea, who has their third child with her on the way, and Carson. Can you stand up, Carson? And Joseph. All right. Josh, you a tad young. Brooke, his wife. Caroline. All right. And Emma Jane. Can you stand up, Emma Jane? Okay. Way to be decisive there. Ralph McKee. And his wife, Opal. Their daughter, Rebecca. And their grandchild soon to be on the way. And then her husband, Ryan, is not with us. But thank you. Dan Smith. His wife, Elizabeth. Their sons, Clay. And Isaac. Thank you. Martin Likens. His wife, Erica. With their daughter, Lorelai. You going to look at us, Lorelai? And another one on the way. So, what, three out of the group have got new family members coming. But we are proud of these gentlemen and congratulate them as we continue to move forward. And ask that you be prayerful for them and their families and our congregation as we continue to move and be about God's business. Now, there's a two-week period here, and there's the deacon selection sheet, if you want to look at that. The nominating box is back out there, and that's not for nominations, But if you have concerns or objections about these nominees and want to discuss that, and that's an appropriate thing as we move through. There's some paper there. There's not a specific form where you can write that. But write down, and these need to be biblical concerns that you might have. Write those out, sign those, put those in the box, and that'll be opened in 2 weeks. Won't be dealt with between, but in 2 weeks, and then our shepherds will open that and deal with those with the nominees and anybody that has a concern or an objection. So that box is there for us to do that. And so then in a couple of weeks, they'll deal with that, and we'll continue through this process. It is an exciting time for our congregation, and our shepherds are working hard. And again, it's a time that we're growing spiritually and going to continue to be about God's business. About 6 weeks ago, many of you were gone, and we kind of preached a sermon on those qualifications for deacons, and they are on our website. If you want to go back and listen to those or to that lesson, you're certainly welcome to go back and listen to that. I have to just share with you, some things get better with time. I wish my sermons were the same. It probably doesn't get better, but at least it does. We do kind of go over those qualifications that Paul has given, and if you want to go back and refresh on that or miss that, that's certainly available. Let's just have a prayer together again this morning. Dear Father, we are just so thankful to you in so many ways for the opportunities that you give us to be about your business. But Father, it's really an humbling thing to know that we are a reflection of you in this world in which we live. That we're about your business, and whether we be shepherds or deacons or just members of your kingdom, Father, the world sees us, and the world is watching us, our children are watching, and we want to live in such a way, Father, that you are glorified, that we live humbly and we live lives being about your business. Father, we're thankful for your grace and mercy because each of us knows that we are imperfect. But Father, help us to strive to reflect you to the world around us. Father, help us to love each other, to encourage each other, to support each other. Father, to always seek your truths, and that we will love you, and that we will love our neighbors, and that we will always be about your service, Father. Father, help us to have hearts of service and hearts of love. Father, bless this congregation, these men and their families, and all of us, Father, that we might grow to make a real difference in our community. And Father, we know that you just took a handful of people in the first century and completely changed the world. Father, we pray that your Spirit fills us, that we too can make a real difference in all of our lives and in our community and in our world. Father, help us to live in such ways to have faith and to be of service so that heaven will be our home and we will just continue there the lives that we are living here, that we'll live today just like we're going to live when we're in a fuller way in your presence. Father, we're thankful for Jesus who gave his life because we're sinners. We have fallen short. Father, you have sent your Son because you loved us, who paid the price that we couldn't pay, that we might be forgiven and redeemed and made whole. Father, help us never to take that for granted, and out of the deepest appreciation, serve you. It's in his holy name that we pray. Amen. That's the great part of the gospel, isn't it? One, that the kingdom is here, and that you and I get to be a part of God's family, that while we're not joined in other ways, now, many of us are kin, and being in this community, if we go back far enough, we might find some kinship, but that we have a relationship, a bond that goes beyond genetics, that really goes beyond nationality or place, because as God's people, we make a connection with each other when we travel. When people come into our community, there is a connection among God's believers. That God has made us a nation, a royal priesthood, a holy people that are connected through our love for Him. And that we can be people of the kingdom even though we are sinners. That Jesus died that you and I might be forgiven. That His blood has been shed on our behalf. And then God calls us in to be about his business. You know, and I think so often when people discuss about a loving God and about judgment and those things, and I say, man, what more could God do than to send his child for us, than to send his only son? What more could he do? What greater expression of love, what more could he do than that? And so what should we be about? About God's business. Because we have been redeemed. You and I have hope today. Today is a good day, no matter what else is going on, because we're part of the family of God. If you're not a child of God today, we'd encourage you to do that. If you've not been washed in the blood of Jesus, we'd encourage you, if you know, if you believe that Jesus truly is God's Son, that he died on that cross and was raised on the third day, we'd encourage you to confess him publicly, be washed in the waters of baptism, so that the Lord's return is a positive thing. If you are a Christian and you need to come confessing sin, or you need the prayers of this congregation and our shepherds, we'd encourage you to do that as well, while together we stand and sing.